Third, I was having somebody run around and find me some crowns. When I got the call from the Lord, I had to give it out to somebody else. I was like, somebody need to go find me some crowns. Because he just said crowns and didn't tell me why. And I was like, all right, I'm just be obedient. But when I began to, you know, I don't know why I get lashes. I just got to go ahead and put it out there so it's not a distraction to y'all as much as it's a distraction to me. Because I'm like, now, in one moment, this one right here ain't going to be here. Because they keep folding in. Now, you becoming a distraction. It's going to be sitting right up here. Okay. All right, coming back in. All right. So when I began to listen to the Lord, of course, you all know that this is our relationship month. And I had several sermons. Like, I had wrote them. I was like, which one you want? Which one you want? And I mean, I had studied one real good until last night. And then he was like, yeah, that's a no. I said, well, I guess that was for me. So I'm just going to hold on to that one. But then he began to talk about acknowledgement in relationship. And of course, the familiar passage is Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Feel free to pull it up. We won't be long. Kelly looked at me like, you want me to read? Sure, Kelly. By all means, stay on your post. Go ahead.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil.
So when he began to talk about acknowledging, everybody in a relationship wants to be acknowledged, right?
Right.
If you do something good in a relationship, you want somebody to be like, good job, and thank you, and all the things. Like, you want people to recognize the job that you do, how you participate, and how you show up in a relationship, right? Because that's a part of a relationship. If Lisa's always doing something for you, and you never say thank you, then after a while, it's just like, you ain't acknowledging all the things that I'm doing in the relationship. That same thing when it comes down to children. When parents are doing stuff, it's just like, give me my kudos. And, you know, if they don't, then we call them all kinds of names. You're brat, you're joker, you're spoiled, you're rotten. See if I do anything else. And you know that you would do a whole bunch else.
Right.
But if they don't acknowledge you, if they don't give you your just desserts or your just due, then it's just like, you selfish. You rascal, did I create this? And most of the time we did. Most of the time, we are the culprits. So we all want to be acknowledged in a relationship. And I was looking at the scripture where it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. I have to look at that. Because, you know, we got some understandings, right? I understand this. I understand that. I understand how things are supposed to go and how things should go. And he says, yeah, don't lean on that. don't trust that. Because, you know, we all got an opinion about how things should go, correct?
Right.
I think it should go this way. I think it should go that way. I think church should start at this time. I think church should be over at this time. I think work should be this way. I think we should be... We all have an understanding of how we feel like things should go. We like... And then have a nerve to voice how we feel like things should go. And so, I mean, think about how many times you told the Lord how it should go when it comes down to your life. Look, all the air just left the room. Didn't nobody even giggle or nothing. They were like, what do you mean? How many times have you told him how things should go in your life? I should have a job by now. I should be married by now. I should be out of debt by now. I should have bought a house by now. I don't understand. None of that's y'all's conversations.
Yes.
Portia's back at line talking about, nope, I don't know what you're talking about. But we have an understanding, we think, of how things should go, how things should be run. And, you know, we even have a tendency of getting angry if they aren't run the way we think they should be run. You know, I feel like offering should be done before speaking. I feel like praise team practice should only be this long. I feel like, you know, we all got an understanding of how we feel things should go.
Right.
And the Lord says, I understand that you got that, but I need you to not lean on that. Mm-hmm. Not to trust your understanding. Mm-hmm. I want wonder why. Is it because we only know in part? Then you think about all the relationships you've ever been in and how you thought it should end up. And everybody... everybody's like... And it didn't go that way, right? And you were upset that it didn't go that way because your understanding was this is how this is supposed to go. And then you look at it now and you're like, ooh, wow. If I would have still been with so-and-so and such-and-such. But your understanding at that time was very limited. That's when everybody want to stand up and worship him right here. We want to give you all kinds of glory right here. Because if you'd have listened to me and my pleas and me wanting to destroy people's cars and all the things because of how they treated me. And now I want to go get them a new paid job because I should have destroyed your car like that. But our understanding at that time said this is how things should go. And he says, this is why I'm telling you, don't lean to what you think you know. Because some of us got loud opinions. Even if we don't say it out of our mouth, our actions, our nonverbal communication, say, I don't like it. I have somebody that always tell me, but I didn't say anything. Nonverbal communication is more loud than verbal. It's louder than verbal communication. Because I can walk in the room and not say a word. And my face can say everything. So just because you don't say it with your mouth don't mean that you don't have something to say. He says, but I need you not to lean on that. Because in actuality, you really don't know nothing. Because if you really knew, then there's some choices you wouldn't make. Okay, I won't touch that. We're going to move. He says, lean not to your own. He says, in all thy ways. So tell me what all means.
All. Everything. Absence of none.
Absence of none. Everything. So when he says, if you can't acknowledge me in it, then you shouldn't be doing it. Okay, let's sit there for a second. If you can't acknowledge him in it, he says, then you shouldn't be doing it. Now, what does that mean? That means if there's something that you have to hide from the Lord, if that's something that you can't invite him into, he says, because I'm telling you to acknowledge me in your friendships, in your marriage relationship, in your family, on your job, with your health, with your mental. I'm telling you to acknowledge me in everything. So if there's anything in your life that you can't say, Lord, come on in freely, he says, then you can't fulfill this scripture. Because this is something that you want me not a part of. Anything in your life? No, never, don't answer that. Don't answer that. Keep that to yourself. But he's saying, in everything, I need you to acknowledge me. So if you're scrolling on the internet, you can't acknowledge God in? Probably shouldn't be doing it. What you watching at night that you might not be supposed to be watching, if you can't acknowledge God in, you probably shouldn't be doing it. I wonder how literal do we take all things. Like, Lord, I want to invite you into my marriage. I want to acknowledge you in this. But he says, once you acknowledge me, then what happens? Look at the scripture. What happens once you acknowledge him? He's going to direct you. But some of y'all don't want his direction. It's like, okay, if I acknowledge you in it, I'm just telling you, it's almost like, be seen and not heard. Come on in, Lord, but I don't need you to say anything. I just need you to be here. sit right there. You know how when you walk in the store, you tell your kids, don't touch nothing? Or as we were growing up, kids are to be seen and not heard. Stay out of grown folks' conversations. You know we treat God like that. Stay out of grown folks' conversation. Lord, we ain't talking to you about this. Oh, all the air left again. Oh, we're going to have to get some oxygen tanks in here. Because y'all are struggling. He was like, do you want my direction? We say we want his direction, but then when he gives it to us, do we apply what he gives? Or do we know when things are wrong and we're not even going to ask him at all? Because there's no way that he's going to condone this. There's no way that he's going to be okay with this. So I'm not even going to pull you in this one. I got it, Lord. He says, but if you pull me in, I'll direct you. And if it don't work, then that means it's all on me. It ain't on you. He's like, but if you pull me in, if you say, is this relationship for me, Lord? Is this what you want me to do? He says, I'll give you the direction you're looking for. Is this friendship for me? Is this who you want me to be connected to? And he'll give you the direction. Is this the job that you want me on? He says, when you invite me into situations, I'll give you the directions that you need. You have anybody in here got some questions for the Lord? Like some things that you're waiting on, some answers? Like, okay, Lord, I got this going on in my life. Do you know that even if you ask the Lord about helping people, if you take a moment and say, Lord, okay, they need help. Is it me? Am I supposed to be the one to help them? Or do we just hear about it and automatically jump in? And then the Lord be like, you in my way. You in my way. I wanted to teach them something, and here you come in like Captain Save. I stopped. Y'all wrote the rest of that. I didn't say nothing else. Y'all all wrote the rest of that. Look at you. Shame on you. I did not write the rest of that. Y'all picked up their pen and said, got it. You come running in to save them when there are times that the Lord actually wants to teach them something. Ever hear the Lord say, you in the way? Now, us parents are really guilty of that. That the moment our kids call crying, needing, wanting something, they only have to ask. They know that's all they have to do is imply that things are out of whack, or they don't have no money, or anything like that. Then all of a sudden, you should see my kids are like, hoo, hoo, hoo. And next thing you know, we done whipped out everything. Giving it to them, you know, and giving them extra. We don't even just give them some, we give them extra. Yep. They said, just in case. And sometimes the Lord is like, will you move? You asked me to do certain things in their life, and every time I go to do it, you in the way. You in the way. You doing extra stuff. Your friends call. You know, manipulation is a real thing, because that's what they have to do is imply that they have a need. And then there you are running to help them. Because some people who manipulate know that that's all they have to do is imply it to you. And they know that you're going to show up. You not once stopped and asked the Lord, is this what I'm... Now, you're supposed to be doing something else. But they called with a rescue call. And you stopped doing everything you're supposed to do. And you run over. And then don't let them not say thank you or give you enough kudos. Oh, no. Y'all don't get that way. If they don't acknowledge you enough and you didn't spend your time and your money and all the things, then you're mad at them until they call again. And then you come on in like Captain Save. He says, but if you acknowledge me in everything, I'll give you the direction. Acknowledging God in your finances. I was worshiping and I heard... during the worship music, the guy stopped and he said, and broke me down. He says, there's somebody, you make a lot of money. It was like, but you can't seem to figure out where it goes sometimes. He says, that's the canker worm. And I said, ugh. He says, but God says, invite him into your finances and the canker worm won't continue to devour your money. Do I have any people in the room that feel like I make enough money, but somehow I can't never seem to account for it? It's the canker worm. But today we're going to invite the Lord into our finances. Because I don't want my money to keep feel like it's going out the window. When the Lord keeps giving and giving and giving, I need him to intervene. So I'm going to invite him. Because I need him to direct me. I need to know which investments we need to. See, we're not talking about just paying bills. I think we should be past that by now. We should be at a place of, where should I invest? Where should I sow my seed? What's going to bring the best return on my investment? That's inviting him into your finances. But even in your relationship, he said, invite me in. When somebody is trying to connect with you, it's like, Lord, are they a part of my purpose? Because these friendships ain't just, oh, are they a part of my purpose? Are they going to help me to get to the next place in life? Are they going to be there to speak into me? Are they going to be there to encourage me? Do I have something that I'm supposed to give to them? Ask the Lord even about your friendships. It's like, don't just take everything. Okay, well, this person right here. He says, invite me in. Acknowledge me. To acknowledge. I'm almost done. To acknowledge means to accept, admit, recognize something or the truth or existence of something. He says, so when I'm telling you to acknowledge me, I'm telling you to accept. I'm telling you to admit, to recognize me and the truth of my existence. So he says, in all thy ways, admit, accept, recognize me in everything. In everything, he says, and then once you let me in, I'll direct you. Then he also tells us not to be wise. I'm wondering, and he said that up here, not to lean to our own understanding. Then he had to come back down here and say it again. I wonder why he had to say it more than once. Somebody said we weren't listening the first time. Because we're not wise. He says, be not wise in your own eyes. How many of y'all think you're pretty smart? Most of the time, we think we're pretty smart. I'm pretty smart. I know a few things. He said, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, usually you don't have to tell people to get away from evil. I wonder why he has to tell us to depart from evil. I don't know too many people that walk up to evil. But maybe we do. Something can be evil. We're like, oh, look at that. That's a different color. Oh. You know, they talk about the red flag. They like, ooh. But somehow we don't depart from evil. Because I think we have an understanding of what evil is. Mm. No, we don't, because some of them relationships was evil. And some of us were evil. They needed to depart from us. Oh. Some of us are the evil things that people need to depart from. Depart from evil. Don't be wise. He says, release yourself from that self-absorbent, like, you know everything, like independent status. I don't need any help. I got this. He says, I need you to act like you need me with everything that's in you. I need you to acknowledge that you need me in every area of your life. I need you to say it loudly. I need God in every area. How am I going to raise these kids? How am I going to do on this job? What am I going to do? How am I going to pay for college? He says, I need you to acknowledge me in everything. He says, the moment you acknowledge me in everything, and some people are like, well, you ain't got to do all that, you know. Oh, you're doing too much. It don't cost for all that. Like, you just being so super spiritual. Well, you give me the directions then. Well, I got my own. Oh, okay. Okay. when you ask them which way you should go, they like, I got to figure out my own life. Well, this is the way I know how to figure out my life. This is how I know how to do it. This is how I know how. The only way I know how is to ask Jesus to invite him in every area of my life so that he can direct my path. Don't tell me it don't take all of that if you can't give me the directions to the end of this story. It takes that and some more living in this world. I need God in every area of my life. And any time that I act like I'm self-sufficient, I find that I'm stupid. Self-sufficient. You know, I know how to match my clothes only because God kept my mind. Oh, no, we don't want to get that technical. I brush my teeth every morning because the Lord reminds me to brush my teeth. And guess what? He made sure I still had some. Oh, well, y'all know a few people. He said, get out of there. Okay, she wants me to get out of there. Some people should not still have the ones they got, but they're holding on to their faith. You know, they make some more. They do make some more. But the fact that we put our clothes on right is because the Lord allows us to. You ever see people walking down the street talking to no one? It's not because you did anything so right. It's been because God has kept you. Amen. It's been because God has had his hand upon you. You know, all the things that happen to everybody could also happen to us.
Amen.
It really could happen to us. The reason it doesn't happen to us is because of this hedge of protection that we have. And sometimes we can forget to acknowledge him in everything. The fact that I can feed myself and I can feed me whatever I like, it's because God. The fact that my kids haven't done all kinds of crazy stuff. Now, they've done their share of crazy. Don't get me wrong. Let's not. Hallelujah. I know y'all believe that the pastor's kids, oh, they don't. Somebody said to me, oh, you just got it made. You don't have to worry about your kids at all. And I stopped doing everything I was doing and turned around and looked at them and said, excuse me? Oh, you have nothing to worry about. And I wanted to list off the things that I worry about when it comes down to my children. PK kids, they are deemed to be the worst ones. Look, they're not. They're just like y'all, though. That part. They just like y'all. We're like, no, they're not. Why, did they get a different bodysuit than y'all got? Theirs isn't flesh. It's saran wrap. Like, they didn't get the same sinful body that you all got. No, they just like y'all. It's not our fault if y'all put them on a pedestal. Oh, air gone again. Turn it on. I am convinced, and I'm going to digress for just a second. This is something that I want you all to know. It is not our responsibility for whatever narrative that you write about us. Good or bad. Because I don't think all narratives that's written about us is bad. Some of them are good. But we don't have to live up to that narrative either. We don't have to live up to the good narrative like, oh, they're so kind and they don't mind. We don't have to live up to that either. We might mind. Oh, they don't mind. They are open book. They're open door. No, no, no. You wrote that. That was not in your members packet. We didn't write that in the membership book that we don't mind. You wrote that. And then when you find out we mind, you'll be like, oh. And I'll be like, yes, get your eraser out, honey. Take that out of there. We do mind sometimes. Oh, they never get tired. They're always happy. That is another narrative that you have written that we did not write. We did not write that. And there are times that you can write a narrative about people, and then you get disappointed if they don't live up to that narrative. What if I wrote a narrative about you? Lisa's eyes got so big. It's like, y'all don't know what we think about y'all. Okay, let me go back. That part. You say you little bit know what we think. Of course you do. Y'all know we absolutely love y'all. That is the narrative that you can absolutely keep. That part too. But all y'all crazy though. I think all of y'all, that is the narrative I write. Real life. That our church is unstable in a lot of ways. Don't try us. Because you'll still be like, are they really saved? Well, we are. However, we acknowledge him in that way too. Lord, we love you, but we will knuck if you buck. Okay, acknowledge him in all our ways. He does know that we will fight. And he still shows up here. He still shows up. I think he left warriors, a warring spirit in us on purpose. He didn't take all that. So sometimes when people are real docile, that's not really them. You push them too far, and you will get more than you want. Acknowledging him in all of our ways. And he says, I want to give you direction. You ever riding with somebody, and you know they're going the wrong way, and you trying to tell them that they're going the wrong way, and they don't want to listen to what you have to say? Me and Josh have had that discourse a couple times, where we're driving, and I'm like, I don't think this is right. Oh, it's right. All right, I still don't think. He said, I'm going to stop and ask. And then he was like, I don't want to go back out to the car. Because she told me it was the wrong way. But I didn't want to listen to her. That's how it is with the Lord when he wants to give you directions and you don't want to listen. You acknowledged him in a way. And then when he begins to give you the directions, it's just like, that's not the right way to go. That's not the right way to go. He's like, but you acknowledged, you invited me in. I hate when people invite me to their house and they really don't want me there. Or invite me to an event and hope that I say no. And then when I say yeah, they be like, oh, you're coming. God said that's what it feels like when you invite him in and then when I actually show up. I actually show up to give you the directions. I actually show up to tell you the truth. And you be like, what are you doing here? He says, that's what it feels like. When with your mouth, you say, Lord, I'm available. Come on in the room. You know, we sing all these songs that are very declarative, like, yes, Lord, I'll do anything. Except not, what? That can't be. All the he's like, you invited me in. I came in, Shelby. I'm here. And then he's like, all right, I want this part of your life. No, you was only supposed to stay in the living room. I don't know why you in this bathroom. I didn't invite you in here. He says, acknowledge me in all things, and I will direct your path, but once I start giving you direction, don't shut me out. You ever stop talking to somebody, like, they don't want to listen to what you have to say, and you be like, all right, I'm going to watch you. You never want the Lord to say, all right. Mm-mm. Not in the form we say, all right.
Right.
Because we say, all right, but it's not really all right. It's a sarcastic all right. Like, I'm going to watch you fall. We never want the Lord to get to the place where I'm going to watch you. I'm going to become quiet about this situation. I'm going to become quiet about this subject. We never want him to become quiet about any matter of our life. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you what to do, but we can also call him a liar and say, no, they're not really like it. They wouldn't do me that way. There's no way that. And he was like, so I'm lying. They not lying. I'm lying. He was like, acknowledge me, and I want to direct your path. But I need you to acknowledge me. So in this relationship with the Lord, he says, it's time for you to acknowledge me, like openly. Because, you know, we say these generic prayers. Lord, you're welcome. Like, we make it very general. But how many of y'all got some specific things that you want the Lord to do, that you need him to move in? He's like, I need you to specifically invite me into that space. And when you invite me into that space, he says, I'm going to give you the direction that you need. Some of y'all, how many of y'all are afraid to invite him in some of these spaces? Because you're afraid of his answer or the requirement or the sacrifice? They said all of the above. It's like But the first part of the verse said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Does that mean we struggle in the area of trust? Because what if he says no, so I'm just not going to ask him? No, he might tell me no. That's not what I want. I want this, so I'm not going to ask you, because if I ask you, you might tell me no. So I'm going to just keep going my own. I'm going to keep leaning on my own understanding. He says, but I want you to invite me in to your family, to your money, to your faith, to your health, and your friendships. I want you to invite me into all those areas because I have your directions. You know, back in the day when we had maps, you know, anybody remember maps in the glove compartment? And so you had to look and follow. Okay, now you got to get on I-40 to go. Some of y'all might be too young for that. And to go this way, oh, shoot, we should have took the, because we didn't have GPS. We had paper maps. You stop at the store and get you a good map out the convenience store or you know, AAA and get you a map so that you'll know exactly how to go. Lord Jesus, we were antiquated. It didn't tell us about construction or rerouting or anything. We just had to go with what we had. He says, I got a map for you. I know how to get you to the end, and I know the relationships that will derail you or stall you from getting to the place where you need to be on time. He's like, but I need you to direct me or to allow me to direct your path, because what I have for you, I promise, I'm not out to harm you. I'm not out to hurt you. I want you to acknowledge me. I want you to give me room and space to be able to speak to you and tell you which way you need to go and what you need to do. I thank the Lord. I believe the Lord is shifting some things and he is changing some things. And you really, during this time, need his direction. You really need his direction. Now, the thing about it, what I believe I hear the Lord saying is that you need his direction. And a lot of this is going to feel unfamiliar. A lot of you all have been in a comfortable space. And now he says, I'm getting ready to make you feel uncomfortable. I'm getting ready to pull you out of some places that you thought that I should be here. This is good. I like this here. He's like, I'm getting ready to pull you into some spaces where you'll feel uncomfortable. You'll have to get your footing again. He's like, but if you follow me in this, he says, when you get there, you'll be like, I see. There's some things that he's going to tell you to close, and then there's some things he's going to tell you to open. There's some friends he's going to tell you to leave, and then there's some people he's going to connect you with. There's some relationships that he's going to tell you, that's not my best for you. There's ways that he's even going to tell you how to discipline your children that's going to seem frustrating to the kids, but he says, I have my hand upon them. And so my answer to them going to this place is no. My answer going to this person's house is no. You're going to have to, if you invite him into these areas, he says, I will give you the direction that you need, but you cannot ignore. It's almost like you can't have two masters. It's like, I want to know what you have to say, but then society says I should do it this way. He says, things are getting ready to shift in our atmospheres, personally and ministry-wise. And he's like, I need you to be able to acknowledge me and allow me to direct you. A lot of times we are so driven by what we think and what we know and what we've experienced that we don't allow God the freedom to do what he wants to do.
Did you get that? Could you try again?
Sure. Siri says she didn't get that. That's what most of y'all just said. Can I try again? So she told me, I didn't get that. Can you try again? Some of y'all turned off on the Lord. And like, I didn't get that. Can you try again? Okay. Siri even like, oh. Did y'all hear what y'all get ready to have to do? She said, I didn't get it. Did y'all get it? But I hear the Lord say it spiritually. He is trying to fine tune you. Ooh. I'm trying to make it so that you can hear me better. You know, back in the day, we had the radios where you had to adjust to get it, where you could hear it. I'm really dating myself right here. We had to adjust it so that you could hear, like, it would come in staticky. And the more you move the antenna and stuff like that, then it could come in clear. And some of you all, spiritually, it's staticky. And he's like, I want you to be able to hear clearly. So I'm getting ready to move the antenna so that you can hear clearly. I want you to be able to hear clearly. If that's you in the room, will you stand up for a second? Well, at least he knows y'all. He's like, oh, I think I know my people. Okay. So what I want you all to do now is begin to invite him into your spiritual life. Because he'll direct you spiritually, and then he will direct you naturally. So God, we invite you in. We acknowledge you. We acknowledge you. We acknowledge that we need you, that we are not independent of you, left to our own devices. We'll make all kinds of decisions. Left to our own devices. God, I really want to do things your way. I really do. I've done things my way for so long and partly hearing you and not really hearing you. But God, I really want to hear you. I really want to hear you. If there's anything that's blocking my hearing, if there's anything that's keeping me from understanding clearly what you have to say, God, I push it to the side even now because I want to hear what you have to say because I need peace in this area of my life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You begin to talk to God about your areas. Begin to talk to him because you know your life. Yeah, na 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 na